Hello and welcome to the show. On today's episode, we'll talk about the possibility of Disneyland reopening as soon as April 1st. We'll also talk about our reactions to the pictures that Disney has released of the new Moana-themed rooms at the Polynesian Resort. And we'll discuss the arrival of new flags and new entrance music at the entrance area to Epcot. We'll also talk about our feelings and experiences regarding the Flower and Garden Festival. All this and much more in today's episode. From points around the state of Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 1118 for March 9th, 2021. My name is Denny Sunderley, and I'm joined here at our virtual roundtable by my good friends Jackie Gailey.
Hi, everybody.
Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
And executive producer Craig Williams.
Oh, hoy, hoy. Oh, man. Denny, you're in for a treat on this one. Bob Iger just confirmed he will leave Disney at the end of December, so... this is going to be fun. There it is.
Is this like Cher saying she's retiring, though? Is this just going to be that like his fifth farewell tour?
Who knows? But let's let Denny get on with the show.
It could be. As always, we are sponsored by Dreams Unlimited Travel. This and all the shows on the Diz channels are definitely sponsored by Dreams Unlimited Travel. And you can show your support for the Diz by booking your next Disney vacation with Dreams. Head to dreamsunlimitedtravel.com and you can request a free, no obligation quote today. And of course, as it's good to say, they can help you out with as much or as little help planning that Disney vacation as possible. However you want, just head to Dreams and check them out. We always want to say hi to live chat. So, hey, live chat, we hope that you're doing well. If you are watching for the first time live, we are so excited to have you here as always. And of course, and I know, Craig, you'll say this if I don't, but please consider hitting the like button for this video if you are enjoying it and subscribe to the channel. Hit that notification bell so that you can get notified anytime a new video goes up. Just a quick note for today, for today's show. So Disney is having a shareholders investors call right now. And so Jackie at the news desk is keeping a sharp eye on all announcements. And if Jackie needs to, she is going to drop off so she can kind of get word out there if big word breaks. But this could be a fun show with lots of breaking news. And speaking of,
And we have a news desk.
And you do. Jackie at the news desk. I love it.
I love that.
It's so great. As always, we have a lot of news to discuss today. So, you know, even before any potential breaking news might come up, we've got news. And so straight over to Jackie at the news desk. Thank you, Jackie, for being willing to read the news.
You got it. So at the top of our news stories, Disneyland could possibly reopen April 1st as per the California governor. So California Governor Gavin Newsom announced some of the state's theme parks are allowed to start reopening on April 4th in accordance with their regional color-coded tier. At this time, most of Southern California falls into the purple tier, indicating the most restrictive safety measures are required. And according to Los Angeles's KTLA, many areas that are currently in the purple tier will transition into the red tier in the coming weeks. Of course, that's just a prediction. Dr. Mark Gailey, the Secretary of California Health Human Services Agency, had this to say regarding the state's change in policy. Quote, California can begin gradually and safely bringing back more activities, especially those that occur indoors and where consistent masking is possible. Even with these changes, California retains some of the most robust public health protocols in the country. And the guidelines, that was an end quote there. The guidelines governing the reopening of the theme parks are as follows. Counties in the red tier will be limited to 15% capacity. That's 1-5. Counties in the orange tier will be limited to 25%. Counties in the yellow tier will be limited to 35% capacity. Indoor dining will not be allowed, and there will be limitations on indoor attractions. It appears that those allowed into the theme parks should be California residents. So also included in the April 1st reopenings will be outdoor sports, at ballparks and stadiums, as well as live performances. So, and this is kind of an ongoing story. So we will definitely update this story as anything new happens. So especially today with the investor call. So anxiously awaiting any kind of announcement there.
For sure. I mean, Ken Potrock, the president of Disneyland, was really kind of clear. He came out with something just right after the announcement was made that kind of, you know, that said, hey, we're excited, but, you know, it made it clear that they, okay, now they're going to start, you know, putting the game plan into action. It's not quite ready yet. But yeah, this was a really big deal on Friday night, you know, Friday night Eastern. It was a lot of fun to see it. I was in Hollywood Studios at the time doing some writing work, and it was fun to see that news. Like, this is the news we've been waiting for, right? Now, we're not Disneyland locals, but all four of us adore Disneyland, love it so much. Yes. And so excited for the cast out there. So excited for the leadership team who gets to actually go, okay, let's make this work. We've been strategically planning for a year. Let's see if we can make this work. What do you guys think?
Yeah. And like Ken Potrock said in his statement that he issued, they've got thousands of people to get back to work. So, you know, it's a lot. There's a lot.
Absolutely.
A lot to do.
Yeah. For me, I think it's really awesome and amazing. I wish that it would have a bigger impact on us here in Florida, but you know, that's not the case, because when it does reopen eventually, it's going to be for in-state residents only at first. And you know what? That's perfectly acceptable and normal, and I can totally understand why they're doing that. That doesn't mean I don't want to get in that park as soon as it's safely possible to do so. And I hope it doesn't take too long for that. But it's going to just be great for California and for Anaheim. It's going to be awesome for the locals who have missed having that as a place of enjoyment. Hopefully we'll know sooner than later what is going on with potential new annual passes for all of those Southern Californians out there, so that way they can start attending more. But there's just so much still to fill in with Disneyland. I mean, they can reopen as early as April 1st, but it's, Who knows when it's actually going to? Will it be further pushed to like Memorial Day? Will it be the end of April? It's going to fall somewhere in that time period, but it's exciting news overall.
For sure.
I can't wait for the Avengers campus. So this is just that light at the end of the tunnel where I'm like, please, for the love of God, I just want to get a vaccine in me and get out to California. I am ready.
Yes, absolutely. There are new things we get to explore in those parks. I can't wait. It's just going to be the best.
Oh my gosh. I tried to convince you guys that we should rent a Greyhound motor coach and we could all pile in it and head west. You guys thought I was kidding.
It would have to be like my grandparents' Winnebago from the 70s. Right? I think that would be.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh. That would just be awesome.
That would be the most fun.
Oh. Crickets from Craig and Rhino. So maybe it wouldn't be so fun.
I know, right?
I want to believe it would be fun, but we'd have to be stopping at places that matter along the way, like Grand Canyon. Where did the meteor hit? All this sort of stuff. I need to see these things.
Yeah, I'm not okay with it. I'll just say that. I'll be honest. This was actually an idea that Pete floated so long ago. This was back in like 2013. He wanted to legitimately rent an RV and do the trip from Florida to California as part of one of our events and stop at places along the way. And it was the first couple months like of working here. And so that was like at the point where it's like, well, I can't say no at this point. I'm still too new, but I hope this never happens.
Oh, and leave it to me to be like, oh, hey.
Sounds like fun.
It sounds like
great. Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like a personal fun thing to do. Not
sounds like a pressure cooker. Yeah. I don't want to love everybody, but I don't want to be around the people I work with in that sort of a setting, all sharing one bathroom in a car together. That sounds terrible. Who's on the poop duty? I don't want to be.
That might be problematic. Okay, never mind. All right, Jackie, new story number two.
we were just kidding about that part. Yeah. New story number two. Disney shares images of new Moana-themed rooms coming to the Polynesian Village Resort. Disney has released a look into the revamped Moana-themed rooms coming to the Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. The reimagined rooms will feature artwork, including a mural that spans the length of an entire wall that highlights Moana, Maui, and other themes and characters from the Disney film. The color palette was inspired by the Pacific Ocean, and Disney Imagineers looked to the seaside for their color choices and patterns used in the bathrooms. Finishes in both the guest rooms and bathrooms are in oil-rubbed bronze and brushed stainless steel. The watery blues contrast beautifully with the rust colors used on the focal wall and the sandy tones of the flooring. Keep a sharp eye out for familiar friends and sea-inspired motifs that can be found throughout each room. Bookings are now open for July of 2021. So if you'd like to book a stay, like Denny said, be sure to reach out at the experts at Dreams Unlimited Travel to get your free no obligation quote.
I love that Hey Hey is right by the coffee maker. He looks had a little bit too much coffee already, but he's just cute as he can be. What do you guys think about these rooms?
I think they look great.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
I love them.
I'm excited about them.
I could not be more impressed with how they came out. And I was walking to Magic Kingdom on Monday, so yesterday, and they had one of the sliding glass doors open at the Polynesian, so I could actually see the accent wall with my own eyes, and it looks pretty impressive. I mean, granted, it wasn't close up, but it was close enough. But I think these rooms just look really, really amazing. It's that nice blend between, you know, being refreshed and new, contemporary, modern, but also have those Disney aesthetics to it as well. And it just flat out looks so, so classy. And I know that not every resort will go through a refurb and look like this one does, but this is setting the bar high for what's to come next with the contemporary when eventually they go through theirs. But I just looking at this, I could see myself actually being like, I need to get into the Polynesian as quickly as possible. And it's one of my favorite places to hang out, but it's not one of my favorite places to stay. You know, I'm a Wilderness Lodge guy, but those new rooms, I could see doing a nice staycation, staying only at Polynesian, really enjoying the style of them, plus all the other amenities at the hotels. So, yeah, I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited that you like them.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think there's something for everyone in these rooms. It's a deluxe level resort. So you've got to have those high end finishes going on. And we've seen some of those finishes at places like the Riviera. So that have opened recently, fairly recently. So it's nice to see those, also used at the Poly. I saw some comments regarding the carpet and the change out between, you know, from carpet to something that's more of a solid surface, but that's just a no-brainer, I think. And we've seen it at other resorts, and I like that they've done a herringbone pattern on the floors. So that's just, it's something interesting and fun. But even if you're not an over-the-top Disney character fan, you know, you're still going to enjoy this room, right? So I'm personally, I'm down with it. And I love the benches at the end of the beds. the settees. Yes. So you can kind of sit down and put your shoes on real quick and, or put, lay out your outfits for the next day right there. That's just, I'm all about that.
I know that a lot of people were hoping that it would be a little bit less on the side of the characters in the room, and they would have just rather had a more overall, like, Polynesian, Pacific Island approach to the room. But here's the bad news with this that I hope I'm not being taken as the bearer of bad news, but this is the future. As Disney has said more times over and over again, definitely more Disney being infused in everything from the hotels to Epcot to everywhere that they can. So if this is a trend that you don't like seeing now, it's only going to get worse as time goes on. We're still in the beginning phases of this. And you know what? I'm embracing it. I think that there's ways to do it well. And then there's ways that aren't as good of an approach to it. Like, I love the subtle touches of Three Caballeros at Coronado Springs, as well as then the Destino inside Grand Destino Tower. Like, I like those subtle changes. I love how they're doing it here. And I'm just rambling to try to think of an exception in my head so far with this style that I don't quite love. But
I was going to say, I love what they did at the rooms yeah. there too, right? And that's like the classic characters are inside of those rooms, right? Am I missing?
Yeah, Mickey and Mickey and Gang are in those rooms. So there's not a style of it that I'm not on board yet. I know that that won't last forever, but for right now, I'm digging it.
Yeah,
I am too. I love every minute of it. I love it. I love it so much. Like, to me, it's just a way of bringing a little bit of a film into, they do it so tastefully, and they bring it into the resort, and it just looks beautiful. And I mean, you're at Disney, why not? Like, I don't understand. There's so many people out there that don't like the IP being brought into the parks or the resorts. And I'm not one of those people. I love it. I love it. And Disney did a really great job with those pictures. I mean, with bringing all the finishes in the way they did. And Hey Hey being by the coffee is one of my favorite things ever. So I love that. I love it. I can't wait to stay there.
He's so cute. That Hey Hey.
He is.
Yeah. All right. News story number three, Miss Jackie.
So news story number three, new flags at Epcot feature original park icons, new background music, and new lighting. This was last week, and Disney Imagineers raised the flags on 12 new flagpoles that were installed the week before around Spaceship Earth at Epcot. So each of the flags feature one of Epcot's six original icons, going back to the original design philosophy of the park, and they represent pavilions and attractions and a vibrant new that is inspired by the new Epcot neighborhoods. And the new color-coordinated light ribbon made its debut, and it encases the rim of the plaza that connects with the fountain lighting. And then we've got new main entrance music as well. And some of you may have seen the video that Craig put out about that kind of showcased that. So I'm a fan. I'm usually
Are you?
A fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am. I don't know if I would have. I mean, I think I would have noticed if I had gone. I don't obviously go to the parks as much as you guys do. So I sort of feel like I'm a few times a year visitor, you know, more than a few, but I don't go there as regularly. So I'm sure I would notice the new music if I was there. I'm sure I would have noticed if I didn't know ahead of time that it was new. I mean,
it's different. I music. I don't care. I was sitting. I have now twice been in there, and both times have taken an active notice to the music. Whereas before, unless it was like the Soarin' song, the Soarin' theme, I'd be like, I don't know that I was ever really actively listening. I think it was always there in the background, which is fine. I mean, it is literally background music, right? But I felt like the new music gives it this kind of like exciting feeling, this like adventurous feeling. Like, I don't know, it pumped up. Like when I was in the park yesterday, both when I got there and when I was leaving, I was just kind of like, I'm like into this music. Of all the parks too, I am like, it's like been rattling around in my head right now. I don't know. Somebody in chat said it reminds them of the Avengers or something.
Okay. I like that. What do you think, Craig?
Okay. So let's just get this out of the way real quick. It is just music in a park. So yes, I understand how meaningless it absolutely is. That being said, I am not a huge fan of it right now. I think I said to Rhino when we were there that, or it might have been you, even Denny, but I feel like when it's added in with Beacons of Magic at night, that it will feel a lot more majestic than it currently is right now. But right now, it's just I'm not digging that symphonic suite to it. It just with Epcot, to me, I know they still kept a lot of the retro elements in it, but you know, I really, really have always enjoyed that retro side to Epcot with that 80s synthesizer sound. And you know, I know it has changed throughout the years, but I'm just not getting enough from this one. But again, it's background music in a theme park. I'm not going to literally sit here and pull my hair out of my head because of it. It's one of those things. It's always going to change and adapt. What's here now in another 30 years, it's probably going to be different again. But as far as the flags, I'm all on board. I said as soon as the one was added in that this was clearly going to be the most beautiful entrance of a Disney park. And now that the flags are in, it's taken to the next level. And then as soon as we have Beacons of Magic at night, it's just going to be a fantastic, beautiful way to walk into this park. And they just have to make everything else once you're inside the park live up to this entrance area. And that's going to be a hard feat.
Yes, it is for sure. As far as the flags are concerned, I am all for the flags. I'm all for the pavilion icons being displayed there. I like that. They've been installed. It makes things just look a little bit more regal. The ribbon of light that is happening around the entrance area once dusk hits is something fun. Like I was on the phone with Jackie walking out of the park as I stumbled upon the light, the ribbon of light being illuminated. I said, "Oh, Jackie, I gotta go. Like, I need to take a video of this real quick and get this out on Twitter." It reminded me of what you'll see around the perimeter of a stadium during a football game, right? It's the lighting that'll transform and morph and color change to the music, to whatever. It can be programmed, I'm sure, to however they want it to be. But so I liked it. It wasn't like, ground shattering, whatever, but groundbreaking technology. Maybe that's the word I was thinking of. But as far as the music is concerned, I agree, Craig, it's just music. However, I think a lot of us Disney fans, that music being there, just hearing the music, if we're far away from the parks, can suddenly transport us back immediately. We all get very attached to different things at Walt Disney World, at Disneyland, even on the cruise ships, right? The smell of the cruise ships is different from anything else. Like I love coming home from a cruise and my clothes still smell like the ship. And the Epcot entrance music is among my very favorite, if not my favorite, background music loop. So to have that messed with, for me personally, I don't think it needed to be messed with. I had a feeling it would happen eventually, but I almost feel like that was classic good perfection already. Why? The one part of me that's okay with a fragment of it or a segment of it, they have worked in a Saving Mr. Banks song, The Magic Kingdom from the movie. And Saving Mr. Banks is one of my all-time favorite movies. And that soundtrack I adore. So, and they've been playing that song and a couple of the other songs off of the soundtrack in Mouse Gear for months. So since the reopening in July. So I'm okay with them pulling it in for the entrance music. But when it was first announced, I thought, oh my gosh, what are we going to get? Like, are they going to work in like some really retro stuff? Are we going to hear New Horizons or Tomorrow's Child or Veggie Veggie Fruit Fruit? What are we going to hear with this entrance music? And to have it, I appreciate all the effort that went into designing it and the sound design and the choice behind it, but it kind of it definitely fell short of my expectations. I agree with you, Rhino. It kind of sounds like there's an adventure to be had. So I do like mm-hmm. some of the sweeping sounds that we hear, some of the sweeping music, but it, I just don't know that it needed to be messed with. And it kind of made me a little sad to sit there. And because I sat there and really tried to listen to it for a while. I was excited when I heard Saving Mr. Banks. But then just about, you know, it didn't pluck the heartstrings. And I was really hoping it would.
Yeah, I think Disney is about to hit a crux point that Universal dealt with a long time ago of, are we willing to kill off the past to progress and move forward mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, not nearly on the same extent. I know Disney is probably afraid to touch a lot of the parks, but it's something that Universal had to go through because of the amount of space that they had. And I feel like Disney is starting to follow that same approach, but on subtle fronts, like with the background music. You know, it was a couple of years ago that they changed up the background music at Hollywood Studios and people were in a fuss mm-hmm. about it. And, you know, now enough time has passed. It now fits that park really, really well. It constantly happens and evolves. And luckily there's YouTube and a lot of others out there where you can still pretty much go back and listen to all those sights and sounds that you've heard before. So they're never really gone and forgotten, except actually physically in the parks. But, you know, it's definitely a trend that it feels like Disney's going towards. And, you know, we also see it with sight lines, like what we talked about with the harmonious barges and willingness to let a giant ring sit off center and stuff like that. It's all just going to keep happening. So I feel like we either have to decide that we want to make sure that everything is stays the same, or we have to be willing to let stuff go. And it's getting to the point we got to let stuff go, sadly enough. And it stinks.
God bless YouTube, where everything can live on in perpetuity forever and ever. It's a good thing.
But guys, yeah, no, I'm right. Going to be honest. I just don't think I care this much. I'm trying to be really invested in this, but I am just like, it's just background. I'm not trying to be rude because I do 100% agree with all the points that you have made, both of you, like about this. It's in film. It's in everything. Music. Sound design, it is part of the beauty of a layered storytelling that Disney does. But if this park is under this metamorphosis, this change, then it can't be the same anymore because it's not going to be the same park. It's a redesigned park. It's supposed to be like, I think that's the idea, is they're trying to like reframe the atmosphere. And it's also, you know, it's just stuff gets stale if it's going to stay the same forever. I think about how the song from Up is in the Main Street background music now. And honestly, it's probably my favorite part of that background music. And I think it sounds like it was always meant to be there. And there's something like beautiful. And I think, well, if they never updated that, that would never happen. But some of my best memories even are in Main Street, that song plays and I'm like, I can feel it, you know? And like, so I understand your emotional connection to the background and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know that I'm a big enough fan of things to be like, I'll be devastated when they take this. I don't know.
It might be better for an off the rails, but that's the hard part right now that I feel like, and I want to apologize. I forgot that I was not muted on Rhino's channel. So
my dogs did yell. I thought you were just so bad at me.
boys. But yeah, so here's the problem that I'm finding lately with being a Disney fan is that it goes back to what I was saying. It's either, oh, you care too much about this stuff, or you don't care. You're not a real fan. And I know we have a word for that that Rhino is very aware of right now, which is, you know, it's a toxic fandom. And, you know, I'm sure that there's many people out here watching and listening right now who think that besides maybe Jackie, that all of us at one point in time are part of the problem with it. And, but it's one of those things too, where I'm right with Rhino. I'm starting to care less about a lot of these details because it's the entire fandom leading away. It's Disney changing some things that make certain sense and other things that make no sense. It's all just adding up to the point that it's like, why?
Pick and choose your battles. You know what I mean? If they're going to close like Haunted Mansion and they're demolishing it to build something else, that's something where you're like, oh my gosh. But, you know, I don't know. Did we do an off the rails about this?
We may have.
About what they would take away that would ruin our being a fan or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, that was
making that up. Okay. Here we are again.
I believe this has become an official donut information station right now.
There you go. That's exactly right. That's who we are. We're going to embrace that fully. Thank you so much, Jackie, at the news desk for all the news. Is there any breaking news thus far with the shareholder call that we need to know about?
As a matter of fact,
I had to shrink down like 85 tabs to find where to unmute myself because that's how I roll sometimes with all my tabs open. But yes, as a matter of fact, there is breaking news. So Bob Chapek announced that they plan to open Disney's California theme parks by late April. So very exciting. There's no additional details.
Okay.
There's no like, you know, I have like a million questions. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we have, before we get there, you saw the other news, correct?
I did. And then I was going to share that next one.
I feel like there's more juice to that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
We like juicy
Disney
news.
Plus, are you talking about the Disney Plus?
No, news? I'm talking about Remy.
Good God, people.
Remy's Ratatouille. Okay, sorry. Remy's Ratatouille Adventure will open at Epcot on October 1st, 2021 to help kick off the opening season of Walt Disney World Resort's 50th anniversary celebration. Get more details today
5 months
at
from
Disney
now.
Parks blog.
Imagine being one of those people that's been waiting at the wall every day to get this announcement right now and be like, oh no, what have I been doing with myself?
Good heavens to Betsy. Okay, October 1st, which means we're in two places at one time on October the 1st. That's going to be crazy. Okay.
What's the Disney Plus one?
Disney Plus has over... Well, now I lost my...
Oh, if this is a subscriber count, this is stupid.
Yeah.
They topped over 100 million subscribers. So that was going to be my secondary, not as exciting news.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remy, October 1st. Okay.
Yeah.
And Disneyland and DCA in April. Yay. Awesome. Woo-hoo. And as always, definitely check out wdwinfo.com. That's where all of the news updates and articles and any details that we find out outside of this show, we're going to put them up there so that everybody can check them all out. So be sure to head to the Diz for further details. All right. So does anybody have any housekeeping, or as Craig put it in the markers, the timestamps on last week's video, keeping of the house? Does anyone have anything that would fit into that category?
Keeper of the house.
I love keeping of the house. That might be my most favorite thing.
I did have something. I can't remember.
Oh, I do have something. Yeah. Craig just reminded me of it. I don't know why, because he made that noise. I just want to give a shout out to Joshua Alex. I don't know if he's watching the show right now, but he has been in our live streams while we were in the park. He was in the live stream that we did at Food and Wine, and he was in a live stream I did at Universal way back when they were first opening. And he's just a really nice guy who Craig, I haven't actually told you this yet, but he bought us a drink. So, so you and I are going to be having a drink courtesy of Joshua. So we appreciate, I just wanted to give him a shout out because that's the second time he's done that for me. And I thought that was really super. Yeah. Like, it just came out of nowhere and I noticed an alert on my phone and I was like, what is this? And so it was just such a random surprise. And I just wanted to throw that out there. And obviously nobody, you don't have to do that or anything like that, but it's just been, I feel like I keep missing him in the moment. So I just want to make sure if he's listening. Thank you, Joshua, very much.
Yeah, that's so nice. Excited. So
cool. Yeah.
I'm going to use a drink after today. Holy cow. I can't remember what my housekeeping was. I definitely had housekeeping, though. And okay. I feel like it was somewhat important, too. So that's making this even more difficult.
Okay. Well, let me share mine first, and you be thinking, and maybe it'll come back to you.
Okay.
I just wanted to give a special, just a special platform real quick to a video that Craig put out on his YouTube channel yesterday. It is a walking tour of Magic Kingdom. And Craig says hello at the beginning and goodbye at the end. And then it's just Craig walking around the Magic Kingdom. There's no narration or anything like that. It's just him exploring, giving us a look at what the parks are like right now, helps us to connect if we're far away from, you know, Walt Disney World. It really is a longtime listener and consumer of the Diz. It reminded me of Bob Varley, original Diz Unplugged team member, and how he used to take, he put a camcorder on the back of his ECV and called it Cot Cam, and drove around the Magic Kingdom. And he heard just word from people who someone in their their traveling party just needed an extra heads up ahead of time. It helped prepare those members of the traveling parties to get ready to visit the Magic Kingdom, to visit the parks. And this was just an updated version of that. And it, as soon as I, you know, just everyone's videos are amazing on the Diz and the Diz Unplugged and just all the different channels, but it was really neat as someone who's hung out, just consuming Diz stuff for a while. Cause I saw the thumbnail and went like, Bob, this is so cool. It's like Bob. So if you are, you know, working from home and you just need a touch of the Magic Kingdom or middle of planning a trip and you have a kiddo who needs that, you think it will equip them, it'll allow them to be better equipped to enjoy the trip, have them sit down. It's 57 minutes long and literally it is just exploring the nooks and crannies of Magic Kingdom. And it was just great. So I just wanted to give a special shout out to you, Craig, and also just a special just highlight of that video. Just definitely go and check it out on the Diz YouTube channel.
Well, thank you, Denny. That means a lot. So it's one of the hardest changes we've made since we've started making all our tweaks and adjustments. I as much as I've been a part of these podcasts now for 8 years and sharing our opinions and vlogging, all that stuff that we do with the Diz Unplugged, I don't like this side of it, believe it or not. It's a main part of our job and it's what we have to do. But this is literally my least favorite aspect of it because I am doing so much work to try to make sure that these happen in the production style. And, you know, Denny and I got started on this at what, 8 a.m. this morning to, and so, yeah, we roll around 5 hours later. I'm not always in the happiest mood because I'm already like my brain is fried by the time we get started with these, but I always then used the videos we produced on the Diz as a way to you know express my creativity and showcase off. And a lot of times it wasn't. It was just the simple things of, I'm going to go ride three rides today, and I know I'm going to be able to post ride throughs of them. And that's part of what we changed with the Diz channel. The Diz channel, youtube.com/WDWinfo, is now just a vlog channel. I don't want to say just a vlog channel, because we try to put good content out there with it, but that is what it is. But I'm trying to find ways to infuse the old style of videos we used to do before, because those were what was always the highlights of me. I don't care what a bunch of people have to say sitting around a table. Y'all were, you're getting a little bit, getting all up in crazy over the Royals talk right before we started the show. Like, I really don't care one way or another about them. But if you showed me like a park bench of outside Buckingham Palace for 5 minutes and just watch it settle, like, that's the kind of content that I enjoy. I don't need to know the gossip of what's happening inside. I just want to see the peacefulness of outside. So I'm trying to find ways to put that into the Diz channel as much as possible. And I know people don't love it all the time, and I'm sorry when you don't, but it's also, I know there's a lot of people out there, and this one I designed specifically for people who wanted to walk on a treadmill, and it is 50 minutes of uninterrupted walking that I just kept randomly taking different paths around the park. So you can definitely get a workout on it. I plan on rowing to it later. And just letting my arms fall off. But,
love it. Hey. I mean, listen, there are plenty of message threads on the Disboards asking, okay, what is it like right now? Or people who are doing trip reports saying, this is what it's like right now, just back. Let me tell you about my experience. Well, if this is Craig walking around on a morning at the Magic Kingdom. So if you're curious to really see what it's like, I know it's just one snapshot in time, but there it is.
But so, I guess I'll just throw in all the YouTube channels, as you already mentioned at the top of the shows. Make sure you're subscribed to all of those. And then also make sure you're subscribed to our audio podcast if you would prefer listening that way, available on most major platforms. I'm still working on a couple that fell between the gaps on there. And then also I'll give a shout out to Connecting with Walt, because that's our audio only podcast that you never see videos with it, except for random occasions where we're usually interviewing someone, because it's an audio only podcast. So if you're interested in the history of Walt Disney, Magic Kingdom, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, it's a good place to start.
So. And you get to hear Craig try to answer random trivia questions, Walt Disney trivia questions.
Yeah, you get it's to hear fun. Me. I love recording with Michael, but there's some, when it's a long day, because we record on Tuesday nights, you can literally tell when I'm having a bad day, because I am like, we're fighting to get through an episode because I am so exhausted. But yeah, it's I love that podcast. It's so much fun.
That is so good. Jackie, over at the news desk, do you have any? Oh, sorry, Rhino, you go first. No, you do it.
I was just going to say that also, since you said the YouTube channels, I feel like I should bring up that we have our Patreon site as well, patreon.com/disunplugged, where you can get some extra content on there. We have some behind the scenes stuff. Sometimes we make exclusive videos, and you get a lot of early releases as well, depending on what tier you're in. And that's it. Sorry.
Very cool. No, don't apologize. You're fine. Jackie, over at the news desk, do you have anything? Oh, she says
the price of Disney Plus is increasing.
Yeah. They already announced that. That's old news, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Did you guys talk? I will tell you guys what they said, though. Bob Chapek has posted an official statement on the reopening of Disneyland. So I'm going to be adding that to my post. So if you have already clicked on the post and gone into it, give me about 3 minutes and hit that refresh key, and Bob Chapek's statement will be in there.
There you go. WDWinfo.com. Check it out.
I do think, though, part of that, if I'm reading it correctly, too, they said that, I believe the quote before was that Avengers Campus was ready to reopen with Disneyland, but I'm seeing here it's Carly posted per Chapek, Avengers Campus scheduled for later this year. So clearly they would rather wait until crowds can enjoy it in a in a bigger way than the first
Which one. Is kind of a bummer because I remember that too. I remember them saying that it was ready.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah. My bet would be probably July. Maybe they want to do something special for the anniversary of Disneyland and be like, we're opening a land across the street since what we're doing here at Disney World is opening an attraction at a park that wasn't here 50 years ago. But it's okay.
We also can't beat around the bush on it, too. They want every form of mainstream media possible to be there when it opens up. And if there's still rules and regulations in place, it would make it very difficult for a lot of people to get to that opening. And so I'm sure that's also on their minds as well, too.
That's a good point. Yeah.
That's a great point. Because if they're in the red tier, in the red tier, they can only have 15% of capacity. So that's not a lot. Yeah. Not a lot of people. All right, moving on. We are going to talk about our experience at the 2021 Taste of Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival, which kicked off on Wednesday, March the 3rd, and goes through the beginning of the first week of July. It is going to be hanging around here longer than it ever has. For those who have always wondered what happens to those flowers past those couple of months of the festival, well, we're going to find out because they're going to be hanging around until July. And as you know, it's quite warm here in Florida in July. So that'll be a lot of fun to kind of discover that and see what it was like. Craig and Rhino and Fiasco and I were in the park on that very first day. And so first things first, we checked out the entrance area. Craig and Rhino, I know you guys did a live stream that I kind of crashed toward the end. Let's talk about our favorites. What were some hits or misses or what we thought of the festival? Anybody want to go first?
I'll go first.
Oh. Do it.
Am I okay? Okay, sorry. I cut out for a second. I didn't send a photo of this because I realized like I had only taken a video and I didn't think about it till afterwards. But I have to say that I'm very excited to try even more stuff than just what we had in the video that if you saw that on the Disney Dining Channel, because there are a lot of items that look really good. And for me, my selections for the most part, I feel like I enjoyed pretty much everything I had. Particularly, I really, really, really liked those Korean short ribs from the Trowel and Trellis booth. Like, they were so good and I think so worth the money, and I am definitely going to be getting those again. I also saw today that because that's part of the I left my book in my bag over there. I was going to say it's part of that Gray's
Garden.
What's
Gray's
it called? The Gray's Walk? Garden Gray's? Yeah. Yep. It's like a mango Dole Whip that you can only get by completing that getting all five of those dishes, and then you get it in like a little commemorative glass. But I was like, I don't know if I want to do this or not. But I'm very excited. I'm very excited because there are so many good things to eat, and I can't stop thinking about those. I almost got those ribs when I was there again.
Good for you.
Ribs.
I mean, you said really so three ribs. Times, so you must like really love them.
Yeah, I really, really, really do.
I was shocked because we'd heard nothing but people say they love them at first day. And then I went down a Twitter wormhole where people were like getting vicious. Like, if you like the Korean short ribs, then you are a sellout. You are just trying to get Disney's attention for how much you like them because they are gross. And like, I'm not joking. It was wacky.
Oh my God. What? They were so good. I thought I was going to hate it. That was the thing too. Cause you know how I don't like cilantro, and I had cilantro rice and I was like, well, this is going to be nasty.
Yeah. Bummer. I still haven't had it, and I'm sure it's delicious. But
you know, I'm surprised because Disney is usually not a toxic fandom. That's weird that people would react that way.
It's so out of the norm. What?
Hubba what? Hubba what?
Hubba what?
Greg, what about you?
My favorite thing, again, I'm going to be like Rhino in this. I realized I only had a video of it. I didn't have a photo of it directly here for this show, but I finally got the slider that's inside of the World Showplace. It was the pork slider and brisket and pork slider, I want to say it was. And this thing was fantastic. It was so messy and it was cheesy and gooey. And I loved every little bit of it. It was incredible. But I did want to point out one thing from that Flower and Garden video that we have at youtube.com/Disney Dining. In that one, I got all confused about the soup and why I couldn't find that in the booklet. And I should have read the booklet better, because it says flat out in the booklet that the Farmer's Feast booth inside World Showplace will be regularly changing. Yeah. And that would explain why it wasn't in there. So I think that's also neat that they're going to take one booth and they're going to actually keep updating it throughout the festival. That's A+ in my book. Good on them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that slider looked crazy good.
It was good.
So good.
So good.
Jackie, what are you looking forward to at Flower and Garden?
So there are so many. I feel like this year they've got more new food items than they usually have. So like usually there's new ones, but I feel like this year there's been so many. And you had one of the things that I had on my Flower and Garden bucket list, if you will, from the Honey Bistro, you had their corn spoon bread. And I want that. So
it was,
yeah, that looks good, didn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it did.
Amazing.
I want it. And, you know, I want to, something that I've always recommended that people do that I've only ever done myself once, which is kind of crazy, but I want to have dinner like progressively around like a few different booths and just try a bite of a few things. And I've always loved when we did that. The very first festival I ever attended at Epcot was the Food and Wine Festival. And so I didn't go to Flower and Garden until maybe the fourth or fifth time I visited Walt Disney World. And so I'm really excited to just hopefully feel comfortable going. So if I can just tear myself out of my house and get down there, that's going to be the first hurdle. So because I'm really big on setting expectations and kind of managing those, I'm trying to just sort of chill just a little bit, but you know,
yeah,
trying to just kind of keep that in check a little. But that's what I'm hoping to do if we manage to get down before July when it ends.
Excellent. Yeah, you talk about the new items. Like they totally could have phoned it in this year, and it wouldn't have been phoning it in. So maybe that's not the right way to put that. But we had 10 days of the festival last year. That's it. Literally, they could have just said, okay, so we're going to everything you saw in that festival passport last year, you're going to see in this year's festival passport. But they didn't. They have given us so many new items, and it's just so much fun. I was sitting down and comparing last year's festival passport to this year's over the weekend, and it's just a lot of fun to see so many different and new things added. And the park never looks more beautiful. I mean, it just looks so gorgeous. And one of the most exciting things in my book is that we've got concerts returning. The Vintage Vinyl Band is this weekend, so I'm hoping to get over there for one of those concerts. Like it's baby steps. So it's steps in the right direction as far as I'm concerned with getting concerts back in the America Gardens theater. So we get to have that. But as far as what I would, you know, some of the things that I tried, a couple of them are on, three of those are on camera on the discussion that we did. I've tried a couple of other things as well. I put up an article about those couple of other things over the weekend on the Diz. one thing that I was really jazzed about and one thing that I was not as jazzed about. But starting off with what my very first thing that I tried for the festival was the Fruit Loops milkshake at Epcot Sunshine Griddle. That is a brand new, it's actually where the donut box was, but they have repurposed it for the Sunshine Griddle this year. And it's all brunchy favorites. So like Rhino tried the avocado toast with the mystery radish that we could not ascertain. What?
It's apparently a watermelon radish is what I've been told. But it was a radish, yeah.
It's a radish.
Interesting.
It's so interesting. We were all flummoxed over what this thing was. But the Fruit Loops shake, I love Fruit Loops. Give me some sugary cereal and I am happy. So the Fruit Loops
shake. Don't trust her. She dumps the milk down this drain. Don't trust her. She doesn't drink the milk in the end of a cereal bowl.
Gross.
Threw you right under that bus, Danny.
Sorry about that. Yeah,
she told me that, and I said, "You've changed."
I tell you, I sat across from Craig drinking that Milky Way thing at Everglades Donuts, and I was like, "Wait, you paid for that? What?"
That was when I found out the. That was when I found out the bad truth about Denny.
So sorry, I apologize.
Peeling your onion layers back slowly and surely as we work our way through you.
That's it.
A disappointment.
That stuff goes in the sink. But I liked the Fruit Loops shake a lot. It really tasted. It was super sweet. Super sweet, as it should be. And like there were chunks of cereal in it. And I love that you asked me if the cereal on top of the shake was stale or not during the review. Nope. Those Fruit Loops are crunchy and tasty. So I would definitely recommend that. And milk was not a bad idea on that day. It was a very good idea. I liked it. I also tried the over at the Citrus Blossom. It was the Citrus Shortcake, which involved lemon curd, which I explained on the review. I love lemon curd so much. I really do. And it's really pretty. It comes with a couple of violas on top. And yes, you can eat them. That means they're edible. They taste like grass. Spoiler alert. I mean, if you ever ate grass as a kid, that's what that flower is. But I wanted the lemon curd. It kind of fell short for me. I wanted that lemon curd to really pack a punch. It didn't. So this is not something that I will repurchase, I don't think, unless I want to try that lemon curd, give them one more chance like later in the festival. But ladies, gentlemen, friends, gather around. The one thing that you need to absolutely try if you are at this year's Flower and Garden Festival is the Tupelo Honey Sweet Corn Spoon Bread at the Honey Bistro. This thing is so good. Grab a spoon. It is spoon bread. That is not a cornbread muffin that you can just pick up with your finger. I mean, you could if you wanted to, but it's not the same consistency as like a muffin. It's got that honey ringed around it, kernels of whole sweet corn. There are chopped jalapenos in there that provide a lovely bed of warmth, but not too over the top. And that whipped honey butter on top is off the chain. Like, I at one point in the review, just take a bite of that. Like you could just a spoon and that, and you'd be happy. So please, 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 it's less than $5. Definitely give that a whirl if you're going to the festival this year. Super, super good. I did want to bring up one cool thing that I thought it just kind of struck me as really interesting and really neat. While playgrounds are officially closed during everything with the virus, there's a new experience that has kind of been unveiled. And over the years in this area along the Rose Walk, kind of diagonally across from Honey Bistro and near those new bathrooms that were created, they've had little experiences, play spaces over the years. They have something that's called the Healthful Trail that they have put in here. So if you are a parent of a kid who needs to run off some wiggles in the middle of Epcot, this is the space for them. It is covered in AstroTurf. It is fairly as wide open as they can get it. There's this little labyrinth of planters that they've made. That's what you're seeing now here in the middle. They have, you know, the species cards for all of the plants, the little descriptor cards, which is really neat to see as well. So kids of all ages can learn something. And the few times I've walked past the space, you've got families in there, traveling parties. They're laying in the grass. They are, the kids are running around. You still have to be distanced. You got to have your mask on, but it is exactly what a kid with energy to burn needs in the middle of the theme park. Because, I mean, you think, oh, we're running around a theme park. That's enough to, you know, to get energy out of my kid. But of course, it's not necessarily for all kids, because sometimes a kid just needs open space to move. And this is open space for them to be able to move and groove. There are huge Adirondack chairs for adults to be able to have a shady spot to sit in. And I wanted to kind of give a virtual high five to the team at Epcot for doing this. Like, this is, granted, it's not a playground. We don't have that back yet. Like, the playground over in Future World East right now, still off limits, still closed. But at least it's something, a hybrid sort of something that we could have for everybody to kind of just run off some steam. So that was a nice thing in my book for sure. Does anybody have anything else, Flower and Garden, that they want to mention while we have a moment?
Not Flower and Garden, but
okay.
We do
what
have
would you like?
A couple more updates.
I'm
going to throw it in. It's one of those things, we're live right now, and a week from now it'll be late. But two big little blurbs that also came out of the question and answer section of the holders meeting. Bob Chapek, I guess, said that they expect the college program to return by the end of 2021. That's big. And not only that, but I guess there was also a note in there about looking at potential ways to grandfather people in for those who didn't have the chance to do the college program and they already graduated from college because they missed out on their shot to do it. So that's interesting as well, too. Yes, Rhino?
Like, that's, if they aged out. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's stupid. Okay,
technically,
here's
never,
the thing about this.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, this is my issue with the college program. This is my issue with how Disney treats cast members sometimes, is that all these kids come down here, participate in the college program, and they are paid under minimum wage because it's billed as an internship. What is, in fact, they're working full-time jobs and more hours oftentimes than the full-time people is what happens. So I hope that they bring back a lot more. They're already the full-time cast members that they lost before they even consider bringing back the underpaid cast members that they already have. That's a journey for the United States. That's not just Disney that underpays people when they are qualified as an intern, but I'm just saying that that is surprising to me. So I would hope that the next message is more full-time cast members are coming back. But
1000% agree with you. I completely agree with you that more of the full-time and part-timers who were furloughed need to come back first. However, we also know that they are more expensive. And let's be real, it's easier for Disney to just say nothing and say, but college program is coming back. So it's a lot easier for that. So it's sad. And that's part of the reality of what Disney is and being a company. But you know what? It's for us to have issues with, and it's for them to actually act on it. And they probably won't. But that's also, you walk in, the managers you see walking around and supervisors, trust me, they don't want the people that they know working in the front lines of the parks. They don't want to see them never have a job back again. It's, these decisions are made way higher up above their pay grade. So that's also the sad part of it, because you see someone walk around in a suit around a park and it's easy to just jump to like, they make decisions, but no, there's always someone up above until we get to Mr. Chapek himself, I believe, maybe. And then Bob Iger for a limited time here. But, to get to Jackie's point though, the college program, the answer, not to a question you didn't ask, but the answer is there is never an age out of college program, because if you are a 65-year-old lady who is going to get their degree, you can still be in the college program.
They just said somebody was 75 in the chat. Yep. They said that in their college program, you someone that was 75 years old and they were happy they weren't their roommate. But I was like,
someone in my program. Yeah, someone in my program. She was, I want to say she was like late 50s, early 60s. So it happens a lot. And it used to happen more when you had the option to have the single room. But I don't think, you know, I think now that it's like you get forced into the bigger room situations a lot more often, I don't think that will happen as much. And, but to your point too, Rhino, you said that a lot of times the college programmers have to work extra long hours. And I know I only did 3 months of my program. That was the complete opposite of the truth for it, where I was fighting to get 32 hours a week. So not only were we making no money, but then I also had no extra spending money because they worked me like the bare minimum amount. I always got the 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock shift at Epcot with a 30-minute lunch in there. So I basically, I worked like maybe 6 hours a day. So a lot of times my 5 day week, I was at 30 hours and it was
Hollywood Studios. Tough. It was like 45, 60. It was it would be like, cause there was a lot of, in the Backlands, there was a lot of daylight attractions, right? So it was like they were basically like, well, it'd be too short a shift to bring in somebody later. So everybody has to come in from like 9 to 7:30.
Yeah, it's like, I know Magic Kingdom, it was a lot easier, but Animal Kingdom, I know they had a problem there too, back when Animal Kingdom was only open 8 to 5, you know, you had some short shifts there too. So sometimes it's all over the place with that. But the other thing that Chapek said, I guess, during the call is that they're hoping for limited return of cruising in DCL fall 2021. So we're getting closer there too. I mean, listen, everything's pointed in the right direction for it to definitely come back. So it's these are the exciting times we're living in.
Yeah.
Yes, listen, I know we all wish we had a magic wand, right? And we could wave it over absolutely everything and bring back every cast member and
put it on top of the Epcot ball, right? Is that where you're going with this?
Of course, with Mickey's hand. Exactly, Rhino. Don't we wish we had that? No, it's good. But and so I do wish we had all those full-time cast back, and I hope that there is a path back for them. But for me, just hearing that college programmers will be coming back, that puts a tear in my eye. I am so excited about that, because I think having been in the parks when they were all getting word that their program was ending early, and just all the tearful goodbyes that they were having with friends and this thing that they had been looking forward to for so long coming to such an abrupt end. And I mean, our hearts just broke for them. And so for them to be able to come back and maybe get a taste of that, just to have some college program kids back is amazing. Yeah. And driving around over on Western Way, off of Western Way, in all that beautiful new housing that they've created for those college program students, cast members, and just seeing all of those buildings just sitting there empty is sad.
So many buildings.
That's exciting. That's exciting that kids are going to have the chance to be able to come back and be a part of that again. And yes, cruising limited by the fall. Okay. We can handle that. And of course, again, if you are ready to book that next cruise, please reach out to Dreams Unlimited Travel. They will help you out as you make efforts to plan that. So exciting. Thank you, Jackie, for covering the breaking news. I really appreciate
that. Can I throw in one more thing too as well? Sorry.
Do it.
Sorry. Rhino, did you have something to say too?
No, I just saw you trying to throw your hand up and I wasn't sure.
Yeah. So this is, we didn't really have a place for it and I forgot I wanted to talk about it too. And I want to make sure that I throw it in because it is important. It's very important because it has to deal with Give Kids the World. But I was able to go over to the Village on Sunday as part of a little media day there where the big reveal, even though I believe it's been open for a little bit, but finally the official grand opening ceremony of the ice cream shop, Henry Starlight Scoops. It is now officially open at the Give Kids the World Village, which is very, very exciting. But it was more than just coming out to see what was there with the new ice cream shop. They also showcased some of what's upcoming, like the fact that over 100 of the different cottages that are around the Give Kids the World Village are going to be completely going through an extreme makeover and getting renovated for all of the families who are coming to stay at the Village. And there's plenty more to still open for the kids at the Village. I thought I had the name of the lab in front of me. They are building a wonder lab of sorts where it's going to be a way for kids to go inside and get hands-on projects like robotics and seeing 3D printing in action to print them figures and other little neat kind of like science-y style projects just to add to the offerings they have at the Village. So there's so much still coming to the Village, and it's very, very, very exciting time for them. You know, they're still not at full capacity, full 100% capacity, but they are working to get there like everyone is to be able to offer more of it. But it is reopened for families to make sure that they get to have the experience at Give Kids the World right now. And, you know, we don't have a direct auction or anything going up right now. We always have the text line. I can't remember the number off the top of my head. So it's in the show notes every week, though. Jackie might remember it and think of it. But Give Kids the World could always use any sort of donations. I believe right now they're actually doing a thing, too, where they're trying to get $3,500 raised from all 50 states. So that way it's to help celebrate the 35th anniversary of Give Kids the World. But it's, you know, never hurts to not remember everything that's happening over at Give Kids the World and how we can make a difference in some families' lives out there. So just wanted to share how exciting it was. And yeah, that's it. I'm sorry. Awesome.
Thanks, Craig. No, don't be sorry. Thank you for sharing that. If anybody listening or watching wants more info about Give Kids the World, you can just type in Give Kids the World in our search window on wdwinfo.com. Jackie has created a great page just filled with a lot of information as to who and what Give Kids the World is, how to volunteer. There's also a link there to be able to donate as well. So definitely check that out. Anybody else have anything else? Nope. All done. Okay. Thank you.
All done.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for watching, for listening, for being a part of the conversation today. As always, if you've enjoyed this, give us a thumbs up. Give us just hit that like button, please. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, about any of the breaking news that has happened during the show, how exciting is this, right? This is what we've been waiting for a year. Is some of these things coming back online. So how fun is this to be able to celebrate this together? So if you have any questions at all, any comments, let us know down in the comments section below. We'd love to interact with you about that. As always, we hope that you have a great week and we thank you for giving of your time and jumping in on the conversation. Take good care, guys. Bye.